And we want to ask you guys, take your Bibles right away. Go to Psalm 19. And we are going to begin with a word of prayer, just to ask God to settle our hearts and focus us. Thank you, praise team, for reminding us of God's ancient words and the value that they have to us. Let's just pray. Father God, thank you for the word today, Lord. Thank you for your spirit, and I praise you, dear God. Thank you for God's people that we could just gather together, Lord God, and we could sing your praises. We can encourage each other. And Lord, today in your word, we can find hope for the change, Lord, that we all need. I pray, Lord, that you would just work in our hearts, Lord. Help us to be focused, I pray. Speak to us, Lord, by your spirit. As you guarantee, Lord, that he will do to us as believers. And Lord, I just ask that you would change us, Lord, in the way that you desire. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So you guys, we are in our series, First Things First, as we begin our new year. We started it actually on the last day of last year. And what we're talking about is preparations for a year that's fruitful. And you can kind of think about what would be fruitfulness to you today? What would that look like? And we'll talk about that. We're going to move down right to the next slide right away. And last week, by the way, we talked about the key thing in having a fruitful year, because none of us really know what's going to happen this year. By the way, I throw this out there. Anybody get surprised by the events that happened this year? And there were some things we're just like, what? Where did that come from? Right? And what we need to do is prepare in a spiritual way to meet the needs, the demands, the issues, the problems, the blessings, and the challenges of a new year. And we looked at that last week. And today what we're going to think about this morning is this idea of preparations for a fruitful new year. But what are some resources? If God gave us something, how could we use it? What would it do? What would it do to help us get ready and be able to deal with the things of this year? We're going to focus on that this morning. So as we kind of jump in, here's a question I just wanted you guys to think about. We know that we have some real areas of our life that need spiritual growth. What do you think? Yes. Think so, right? You know, by the way, we're all facing different circumstances. Remember, we talked about this last week. Is anybody older today than they were last week? Yeah. Right? So things are different. Things might be different today than they were last week, right? Anybody have any new situations in life, right? You know, maybe a new baby, a new grandbaby, a new job. You know, maybe you're moved into the area. It's a new area. You're in a new level of college, a new level of graduate school, a new whatever. But life is constantly changing. And we certainly have some ways to adapt to that and deal with that. So what are some resources and activities that will help me grow? And God's word is one of them. Prayer is one of them. And fasting is one, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. So I want to give us our eternal truth, and I want you guys to just focus on the bottom, right? The foundation of a fruitful year is a commitment to spiritual growth, and we'll look at that more in a minute. But the scriptures with God's Holy Spirit that is in our heart as believers, fasting and prayer are the power that God gives us for growth, for spiritual growth. So I want to just remind us, last week, remember we looked at these character qualities? We read this in the book of 2 Peter, right? Chapter 1, it said, these are some of the things we're supposed to add to our lives, right? Faith, and the idea is, you don't know what's coming this year, neither do I, but God wants to build in us a genuine trust in all the circumstances, good, bad, and everywhere in between, right? Virtue and excellence of our character. God wants us to have a better knowledge of the scriptures. And how do I apply them to the issues and the problems that life give us, right? You know, we're not learning these platitudes that are just nice sayings. We are trying to take God's word and use it to help us make decisions and live life. So that knowledge is important. How about self-control of our emotions, our impulses, and our desires? We all could get a little better at that. And then perseverance. You know, by the way, anybody last year say, you know what? I am ready to throw in the towel. The sponge and everything else, right? You know, we need that perseverance to keep on keeping on, right? But, you know, I see some people like, if you're in college, right, sometimes you're like, man, I don't know if I could do another year, right? Or you're on your job and you're like, man, I hate this job. Anybody been there? Right? You know, it's like, I hate this job. You're saying, God, please deliver me, right, from this job, right? Godliness, right, this outward showing of who we are in Christ, brotherly kindness. Like this year, by the way, wouldn't it be better if we were more friendly, a little more generous and more considerate of each other and our neighbors and our family, and then having a more selfless, sacrificial love is certainly something we could all improve on. So when we look at that list, we're like, man, we need to grow, I think, right? There's some issues that we got to address. So we're going to slide down. And I want to just remind you guys of this guiding principle. Get this in your minds, right? God is not hiding from you. God is not hiding the answers from you. God is not hiding his power from you. He's not running away from you. God doesn't hate you. He loves you. And back in Jeremiah, he said these words. He says, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And he says, then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. So I want to challenge us, you know what, if we want this year to be better, if we really want to grow, we really just need to seek God in a serious way. Illustrate. How many guys, right? When you were seeking your spouse, your girlfriend, did anything get in the way? Was it ever too much money, too much time, you know, too much of a hassle? And y'all say, no, that only happens after you get married, right? So I use that illustration to say this, right? That's how God wants us to seek him. You know, when you saw her and you were like smitten, you would do anything, right? You know, you're buying diamonds and, you know, you're doing all kinds of stuff, right? God wants us to seek him in the same way. And by the way, wives, don't be looking for no diamonds and all that stuff, right? Right? But God says if you seek him in that way, you will be found. So some of the tools, we want to hit them real quick this morning. Here's the first one, the work of the word. We sang about God's word, and by the way, the Psalms, write this down, the Psalms, right, are songs. And we sang it, by the way, we went back into Cindy's deep archives from the past, and someone wrote a song about Psalm 19, right? And people, by the way, Psalm 19 was a song when it was written, and that was written somewhere between probably 2,000 and 4,000 years ago, that was a song to remind people of the benefits of God's eternal word. It was beneficial then, it's beneficial now, and it's beneficial in between that time. And I want to look at something real fast this morning, the idea about God's revelation. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the results of God's word, and then we just think quickly about the reality of God's word in our lives. And I want to share with you guys, if you look at Psalm 19, everybody, mark this down. You can write it in your Bible or write it in your notes. Just kind of think about it. Psalm 19 is all about the revelation of God. And I say this, if God did not reveal himself to you and I, we would not really understand God's character. Like he had to reveal it because he's too great, he's too high. We could never know who God is in his character. But look what the Bible says as I look at Psalm 119, verse 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament," or the earth, "shows his handiwork," the earth and the sky. "Day into day utters speech, night into night reveals knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world." Here's what he's trying to say, God's general revelation. If I look out the window, there's a number of things about God that I can establish. One of them is, God is pretty creative. God is pretty powerful, right? I mean, look at the storms, by the way, that we see. And you see, you know, houses washed away sometimes. We go, wow, God is a God of power. But God's a God of control because he can harness that power. Thank God we don't have those storms every day. We only have them once in a while. Thank God God keeps the sea where it's supposed to be most of the time, right? So God's a God of power. But what we can't understand about God is his character. And notice, by the way, as all of mankind, as we look out at God's creation, we can see some things about him. By the way, there's no language barrier as I look at creation and think about who God is. There's no cultural barrier. I can look and say, wow, how did the earth get to be what it is? You know, and again, people, you know, there's this idea of evolution, and, you know, it's this long, long, long process of random events that led us to this place of incredible sophistication. And God doesn't say, he said, no, I actually spoke that into existence, and I designed it with an intelligence that's greater than all of mankind. And he says that. He says there's no speech. And he talks next in verse 5, he says, about the sun. He says, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. There is nothing hidden from its heat. I want you guys, everybody, look up and think about this for a second. You notice the sun, by the way, every day, where does it rise? In the east. Now, you know, by the way, you go to the shore, right? You know, even though you're on vacation, you might wake up real early to see the sun rise in the east. And it's amazing, right? And it always, every single day, it sets where? In the west, right? And that's what he's describing. He says, it's like a bridegroom, like a groom from his chamber. Like he comes in and he goes out and he goes the same way every single day. And I'll throw this out to you. Even if you had no eyesight, would you feel the fact in your body, the heat that the sun has risen? Right? By the way, even in the wintertime, you know, praise God, when that sun goes down now at like 5 o'clock, doesn't the temperature drop quick? Right? And think about that. Every one of us senses that. And that's why he says, you know, God's revelation is available to all mankind. And it should cause us to seek him, right? And then he continues, and I want to stop with that. And I said this up top. Get this in your mind. And I said it here again, so it's okay, Chris. There is a general revelation of God, but I need more than just a general revelation, right? I can't understand how to please God. I can't understand who I am. What does God want? How do I have power? How do I deal with the things of this life? I can't understand that from looking out the window, being at the beach, being at the mountains or any other place. So God reveals himself, and he wrote down his word through 40 authors over thousands of years to give us the Bible so that we can understand who God is, who we are, and what we need to do and how we need to deal with stuff. And, you know, I'll throw this out. At the end of this chapter, look down at verse 12. Look what it says. The psalmist wrote this. By the way, Psalm 19 is the psalm of David. It says, who can understand his errors? Everybody look up. Think for a second. Anybody mess anything up today? He said, not yet. I got up early, came right to church. Right? But think about all things that we try to do that we sort of mess up or, you know, by the way, we mess it up, you know, practically. You know, we might try to fix things and, you know, we all been there. We make them worse. Right? Or, you know, how about relationships? You know, sometimes we say things, we do things, we feel things that are erroneous and it makes it challenging, right? You know, we have a problem. It says, who can understand his errors? And he says, cleanse me from my secret faults. And here's the point, by the way. A lot of times the problem is buried deep in our heart and we do what we do because we want what we want, right? And the Bible helps us to kind of see us as we really are. By the way, sometimes you look in the mirror and you're like, oh my goodness. Sometimes we look in the Bible and we're saying the same thing, right? We're like, wow. You know, we try our best to look good, but sometimes it doesn't always work out, right? But man, God's word helps to point those things out. Look what he says, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. You know, the idea of sin being a rebellion against God. Don't we presume on God so much? You know, God, I'm going to live my life. I'm going to do everything I want to do no matter what. And you be there when things are bad. I'll let you know when I need you, God. Right? And that doesn't make sense to really live that way because we need God every single day. And we need his word to discern what is going on. And he says, let them not have dominion over me. And I'll throw this out. Think about that in our lives sometimes. Our desires and all those things that drive us, our motivations, they become the things that we become servants to. We can't break away from them. And he says, then I shall be blameless. I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. And again, for God's revelation, I need God's word to show me how to live my life. I need God's word to do that. I need that special revelation from God in his word to do that. So we're going to quick go to the next slide, Christopher. So I want to move right into these promises. And by the way, Isaiah 55, some of you guys are saying, I'm not sure it's going to work. Or you say, you know, I tried that. It didn't really work. Notice what God says about his written word. Here's what he says. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. I thought I heard that somewhere else before. You guys heard that? I heard that in Jeremiah, right? Then he says these words. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him. And to our God, he will abundantly pardon him. And by the way, here's the issue. Here's why we need God's word. My thoughts are not whose thoughts? Do you guys think like God? Are you always, no matter what happens, are you always gracious, loving, forgiving, caring, sorry when you do wrong? What's wrong with you guys? You're in church, right? Think about that, right? And you're probably saying, back at you. What's wrong with you too, right? Right? And that's the point, because my thoughts aren't God's thoughts, and I really need to get God's thoughts to be my thoughts. So I know what's really right. I know what's wrong. I know how to live, right? And he says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than yours. So we need that revelation of God. I mean, his word, right? We're going to move down real fast. Next one. I love what he says. I love this picture, by the way. This picture, we kind of took this outside of church a few years ago when we still had snow. We haven't seen it for a few years, right? But look what he says about God's word. And take this to the bank, so to speak. It says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. And get this, it shall not return, what? Void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I sent it. So tomorrow, like if you crack out, you know, 5 minutes of time or 10 minutes of time to read God's word and really think about it and say, God, tell me something that I need today, it will not be a waste of your time. That's such a key thing, right? We're going to skip right up, moving right along. Christopher, take me down one if you would. Now get this, Psalm 19. I'm not sure what that was. I did that last week too. I'm not sure if I have this electric personality or what's going on, right? But it just says, yeah, gremlins, yeah. Watch out, don't get too close in case the lightning comes your way, right? Here's the challenge, right? It says, the law of the Lord, right, is perfect, converting the soul. And I want you guys to get these ideas. This is what Scripture does. And he gives us a list here in verses 7 to 9. He says, this is what Scripture will do. This is a revelation and the promise of the results that we're going to see. And he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And here's the idea. God's word refreshes, revives, it gives our soul life when everything else in this world is taking it away. Right? And by the way, that's something God's word does. Can anybody, by the way, use a little refreshment? Right? Look, he says, and Cindy mentioned this, the Bible uses in Psalm 19, by the way, which is, Psalm 19 is 14 verses. Psalm 119 is 150 verses that says the same thing in even more depth, in even more illustration. We're going to focus on Psalm 19 today because we have the Lord's Supper to celebrate as well, right? But he says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. Look what he says, making wise the simple. And the idea here is, by simple doesn't mean you're a dummy. Simple means you don't understand. And God's word helps us to do what? Understand. See things as they are. See how life really is. So that wisdom equips us. It says the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing our heart. As we understand God's word, we can have a joy in doing what God has created us and called us to do, even though it's not necessarily real fun or real easy. But God's word gives us joy. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Look what it says, enlightening the eyes. Everybody look up for a sec. Here's the interesting challenge. Is there some questions that you came in today with that you're concerned about? That you wish you could understand something better to know what to do? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's parenting your kids as they go through different seasons of life. God, what do I do? How do I deal with this? How do I handle this? God's word promises enlightenment. God's word promises understanding. It says the fear of the Lord is clean as a result of reading God's word. God's word cleanses us. It helps us to call wrong and sin what it is. And helps us to forsake it and put it away. It says the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's word does all of those things. I just want to encourage you guys. Let's this year commit ourselves that we're going to read the word of God and let it speak to us. And let it speak to the issues that we struggle with in our lives, right? We're going to go to the next one. Thanks there, Christopher. And I love, by the way, the chorus as we sang it, right? God's word says, it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Quick illustration, right? Remember Solomon? And by the way, what do you guys have liked to have been Solomon? That the God of the universe comes to you and he says, what do you want? What would you guys say? Think about what you would say. What do you want? And remember what Solomon said, the wisest guy? He said, God, give me wisdom, the skill to live life well. The skill to use the knowledge that I have, right? And indeed, God's word is awesome. And if we keep it, there is great reward. And Chris, take us over to the next slide very quickly. We're going to just skip past that tonight and this afternoon. We'll go right to the next one, Chris, if you would. So God's word, right? It's a revelation of who he is, what he needs us to do, who we are, and how we find salvation and life, right? It guarantees our results. So here's a quick question. Is God's word something that is active in your life? And by the way, everybody look up. You're not saying this, I wish it was active. But you're saying it is active. Like, and I'll throw this out. Do you spend time with God on a daily or regular basis? Daily is preferential, right? Do you spend time with God? And that's a commitment. If I want to grow, I got to learn what God's thoughts are so I can figure out my life and live it more well, better. And I got to get rid of some of the things in my life that are in the way of that, right? So I want to challenge you guys to that reality. Next thing, very quickly, I want to share with you guys, and we thought about our character qualities, and we went through them before. So we'll go on down to the next slide, Christopher, as well. The process of prayer. And Pastor Anthony is going to come talk about fasting next. And by the way, everybody listen up. Prayer and fasting go together. If we fast without praying, we're dieting. But if we pray when we fast, we are actually engaging the very power of God in our lives. Right? But I know we all could diet. I get it, right? You know, we just had all those cookies and Christmas and all that stuff. That's not a bad thing, but we put prayer and fasting together. That's a great thing. Amen. That's a great thing, right? And I want to share with you guys three things. Here they are. And I'm going to say them to you quickly as sort of a way to get a hold of this in our minds when we think about prayer. When you pray this year, make your prayer God-centered. Remember who God is. Remember he's all-powerful. By the way, some of the verses, I'm going to skip over them, but Paul wrote this in Ephesians. He closed his prayer out one time this. He said, "Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think." Wow. God can do anything. God can change what I can't change. And by the way, that's why people aren't addicts forever. People aren't criminals forever. With God, they can become followers of God and leave all of that behind them. Right? That's the beauty of that, right? So we pray, we make our prayer God-centered. The second thing is we make our prayer praise-filled. We ought to have more thank yous than a list of what we want. God, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for doing what you've already done. Thank you, God, that I got through 2023. I wasn't sure I was going to make it. Right? Thank you. Thank you. More praises. And then I want to say this, and this is what I want us to really think about today. Make your prayer life-changing. And I want to throw this out. Think about when you pray, don't we often say, God, give me a better job. God, give me a better car. God, give me more money. God, change my circumstances. Give me a better wife. And wives pray, God, give me a better husband, right? Or we say, God, give me better kids. Amen, right? And by the way, those aren't necessarily bad things, but here's the deal. All those prayers are, God, make my situation really warm, really smooth, really easy, and then I'm going to be so happy I'm going to praise you. Mm. But the reality is, what God wants us to pray is, a lot of times, what God is trying to change is us. And I read this, by the way, in the Word for today, the Devo that we gave out, and I think they're all gone, which is amazing. We got some daily breads in the bank, in the back. We also have some other devotionals out there to help you guys with God's Word. But we read this just about a week ago in the Word for today, and it said this. You know, as we stop and we think about how to pray, God is really trying to change us. And I want to throw this out. How many people have prayed a prayer for more than 3 or 4 years? Raise your hand. And you found that God has not answered that prayer. Could it be that we are praying the wrong prayer? Could it be that? God could be saying, hang in there and trust me. But could it be that you're praying for God to fix your situation, and what God wants to fix is you and me? Now, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to give you more grace. I'm going to build your faith. I'm going to make you into a person that's more like Jesus, as opposed to I'm going to give you a vacation land to live in. Right? God might be trying to change us. And I want to encourage us as we think about prayer, and the passage we looked at, and we're not going to take the time to look at this morning, is Ephesians 1. That's the kind of prayer that Paul says, that's what he prays, that type of prayer. Now, Pastor Answer's coming up, and he's going to share briefly with us about fasting. How do we put these two things together? You know, like peanut butter and jelly. How do we do that?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Dallas Cowboys.
All right. All right. Amen. I didn't hear that. Praise the Lord. Even as we continue with first thing first, and as Pastor Gary rightly said earlier, the scriptures, prayers, they are important to us as Christians. And not only that, Chris, can you help me to the next slide? Fasting is also important. Go back. Yeah, keep going, Chris. Keep going. Yeah, keep going. Forward, forward. So while Chris is going forward, fasting is important for us as believers. And what makes it important? Because first of all, I realize that even Jesus Christ himself, right? Before starting his ministry, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, he was led into the wilderness where he fasted how many days? 40 days and 40 nights. Now imagine, that's God himself. But why would he do such a thing when he has the power and he could go forward and do anything? But at that time, he was in the capacity of man and God. So the flesh, the human desire was there even as human. And so he had to quench the flesh. Chris, we ain't there yet. Yeah. Go to the fasting, fruit of fasting. There you go. Thank you. Amen. So quickly, we want to just go through fasting as we're going to be going through our 21 days and just have at the back of our mind what we need to consider even as we go through our time of fasting. Because from the Old Testament to the New Testament, fasting existed. So in fact, Jesus started in the New Testament, right? So we see how important it is for us even as Christians. And so a couple of things we're going to look at before we go to, let's go to the next slide, Chris. We're going to look at what is fasting. So I kind of just put this. Fasting is purposely making space for God in your busy life, right? We basically, we up and down running. I got to get to work, get my kids ready in the morning by 7:30. Everybody get on the bus or drop them to school or run to work. We don't have the time. From Monday to Friday, Saturday, we basically. So making space for God in your busy life. And secondly, stepping into the heart of God. And by what? Withdrawing from your normal everyday life. And this is why we're going to be doing these 21 days. Our normal everyday life, sometimes you got to let go of that television. If you got your series that you love to watch, let it go. Right? So, because those things sometimes are going to serve as distraction to you. Because you want to have that time for God. So if you have that time for television to watch your little series, let it go. Use that time for God as you go through. And another thing is spending more time with God than you do in your normal routine. That's why it's all about. Imagine, like I said, God himself, Christ, he spent 40 days in the wilderness with God, preparing himself for the ministry that was ahead of him. And lastly, fasting is about humbling yourself while expressing your hungry heart to God. Fasting is difficult. If you are doing it the right way, it's difficult. Let's be real. It's difficult if you are doing it the right way, right? Because it's the flesh against the spirit. The flesh wants to be pleased. The desire of the flesh wants to oversee the desire of the spirit. So you kind of quenching the desire of the flesh to please that of the spirit. Amen? So when we do that, what happens? There's results. We don't just go on a hunger strike. Because if you just wake up in the morning and don't pray and don't do anything, you're on a hunger strike. You're not fasting. But when you spend time reading God's word, like Pastor Gary said earlier, you spend time praying as you're going through your time of fasting, there's going to be results. And we're going to look at a couple of them as we go. There is clarity and focus when you are fasting. There is physical and spiritual health that you experience even when you're going through the time of fast. And we're going to look at scriptures to back that up. And also there's direction, there's discipline even as you're going through the time of fasting. Amen? You know, it's difficult to have two preachers preach on Sunday morning. So just so let's look at clarity and focus. In the book of Matthew chapter 17, 14 to 21. What happened? Jesus was away. For time's sake, I'm just going to drop down to verse 19. This man brought his son to the disciples. Jesus wasn't there. But now, mind you, the disciples have been with Jesus all along. They saw Jesus there, miracles. They saw him doing great things. But now, in verse 20 and 19, it said, then the disciple came to Jesus privately. Before that, they could not heal this child that this man brought to the disciples. They struggled. So Jesus said to them in verse 17, let me go there quickly. He said, Jesus said to them, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I be with you? How long? And he said, how long shall I bear with you also? Then he said, bring to me the boy. And Jesus healed him. And the disciples were wondering why they couldn't do it. You know, I guess they couldn't stand right there before the crowd and say, why are we going to do it? But look in verse 20, it said, in 19, it said, then the disciple came to Jesus privately and said, why could we not cast it out? Fast forward verse 21. What Jesus said? Jesus said, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, when we come to God through, there are some situations that if we need clarity, we need to be focused upon, we need to come to God through prayer, through fasting, and seeking him diligently. There are some situations in our lives cannot just go away easily except we seek God earnestly. It may not come at that particular moment, but when we seek God, we're earnestly and seeking him through prayer, through fasting, and knowing that God is in control, we can overcome those problems. And secondly, one of the fruit of fasting is physical, spiritual health. And also, I'll put that discipline in that. We all know the story about Daniel, the fast we're going through, Daniel fast, right? Daniel had an experience. And they were taken as captive by the Babylonians. And while there, in verse 40, it said, the king called for the young man who there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve the king's palace. And Daniel and his friends were among the groups that were taken as captives. So fast forward, we're going to go to the next slide. And we're going to see what happened in there in verse 8. Daniel will offer a good meal. Now imagine you from another land and taken as captives, and you are to serve in the king's palace. And look at the king's table. There's a lot of food, food you haven't seen before. You will have the desire to say, oh, wow, I'm serving in the king's palace. I'm going to eat the best food I ever eaten before. But Daniel purposed in his heart, in verse 8, he said, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not want defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies. Why? He said, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested to the chief eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, how was this fruitful? How was it helpful for Daniel? Let us look at verse 12. It says, Daniel said, please test your servant for 10 days. That was his request. 10 days and then give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. That was his request. We don't want to eat these foods that you provide him. But this is what we require. We request of you. Give us vegetables for 10 days with water we're going to drink. And after that, we're going to come back and test us. But you see what God did? As we go to the next slide, help me quick. After the 10 days, this is what happened. They were physically healed. They were physically prepared and nurtured by God. In a sense that what happened in verse 15, it said, and at the end of the 10 days, their futures
appear better and what? Fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. They gain physical strength, right? As a result of not consuming what was provided them by the king, they decided to eat vegetables and drink water. They were benefited by physically being healthy. And that's why we're doing this Daniel fast. We're trying to look healthy, right? But not only that, they were also spiritually healthy. Let's look at verse 17. Go to the next slide. It said, as for these young men, what did God give them? He gave them knowledge. He gave them skill in all literature and what? Wisdom. And what? Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. You see what God did for the time that Daniel and his friends decided. And now, when Daniel made that request, Daniel just didn't go and start eating. He was spending time with God. He and his friends, they were spending time praying, seeking God's face, even as they ate the vegetables and drank water for 10 days. And when they appeared, this is what God did for them. They had knowledge. God granted them knowledge. God granted them wisdom in everything. And Daniel was the only one who could understand vision and dreams more than the king's magicians that he had, because he spent time with God through fasting and praying. And that's as we go through our time of spiritual upliftment, that's one thing we need to see: God's face, that God will heal us spiritually and heal us physically. And not only that, we see Daniel was more disciplined, because without being disciplined, he would have caved in and they would have eaten the fruit of the food that the king offered. But they were more disciplined not to defy themselves, and they stuck to their traditions, and God saw them through. Amen? And let us go to the next slide, please. Not only fasting brings direction. We all know the story in the book of Esther. Esther was crowned queen, and her uncle Mordecai, she was a Jew, and their people were in deep trouble because Haman plotted against the Jews and decided to kill all the Jews. And Esther was in the palace as the queen. Mordecai went to her, sent message to her, and tell her that her people, even her life was in danger. She needs to intervene to bring redemption for her people. And Esther could not go face the king. She needed direction. She needed a way out, because going to the king without him requesting, it could lead to your death. And that was the position she was in. But this is what she said in Esther chapter 4, beginning from verse 15. She said, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. She said, go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. When we come to God through fasting, sometimes we need direction in our spiritual life. Where are we going? Where am I heading in my spiritual life? Where am I going in my spiritual life? How have my spiritual life been so far? Am I on the right track? So, but in doing that, we need to kind of have a communion with God, seeking him through prayer, through fasting, for God's direction. Because with our own, we cannot make it. And that's why the prophet said, lean not what? On your what? Own understanding. But in all your ways, what? Acknowledge what? The Lord. And he will what? Direct your path. And that's why we need, as Christians, and as church, even as we go through the time of spiritual upliftment, to see God's face, to grow spiritually, reading the Word of God, praying, fasting, can do great things in our Christian life, can do great things in our next journey, in our spiritual life, to live that life that God wants and that pleases God each day. Amen? Amen? Amen. And so this time we'll pause here and call on Pastor Gary as we wrap up. We did well, right?
We're doing a handoff, so I don't drop it. So as we come together today, just stop for a second. We know we got to grow. Now here's three tools that we should put into place in order to make that growth happen. And I want to encourage you today, and Pastor Ansu, come back up. Our deacons are coming. We're going to celebrate the Lord's table in just a minute. But I want to encourage you guys. God's word said these things are effective. These things will work, guaranteed. These things will draw you closer to God. They'll give you more wisdom. They'll help you to understand. They'll give you more physical strength. They'll give you a flesh that is denied and not in control of everything in your life. So I want to encourage us. Let's kind of take those words from God and let's put them into place in our lives as we move forward.